It's good to see everyone this morning. Welcome to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here. And whether you're a longtime member or first-time guest, we are excited that you are here in worship with us this morning. Do want to ask one thing as we get started this morning. There are pew pads on every pew. We invite you to get that ball rolling. If you see the pew pad sitting there beside you, to grab that and open that up and fill in the information. Guests, we ask that you fill out all the information as you feel comfortable. Name, address, phone, email. Members, all we ask is you just put your name and any information that's changed. You don't need to put in address information unless it's changed. And then just send that down the pews. And what we do, we invite you to, when it gets to the end, send it back. Members, this opportunity, maybe if you see somebody on your pew that you don't know, you can steal a little glance and introduce yourself a little bit later in the service. And if you send it back to where it started, our ushers can come at the end of the service and pick those up. So we appreciate you doing that for us. A couple of notes about worship today. Children's celebration is happening today. We're inviting the children to leave during hymn number 147. That's the second hymn in our service today. And you just go right out that door. We're going to Smith Hall and spending some time together. So that's all of our children. Our grade school children are welcome to come and be a part of that. Also, if you may have noticed, if you came in through this parking lot, that our average age, well, is college age. We have about 200 college students, so they about doubled our size this morning. They're having a BSU leadership conference. All the state BSUs have sent their leaders to this conference this weekend. They've been here all weekend, and they've had a good conference. And some of them, not all 200, will be joining us in worship, but some of them may be joining us in worship, and they'll probably be coming through those doors, and they will need some of the seats that we have available. So there may need to be some sliding in. So just be prepared. If you see a bunch of college students, it's okay. They're going to be coming in, and it's been a good time for them. So we appreciate the opportunity to work with them, and we hope that their conference has been successful. Other things I remind you of, the FMT, the Family Ministry Team, we are having our monthly meeting today. It's usually the second Sunday of the month, but because of Palm Sunday being next week, we have moved that to today at 4 o'clock. Also, if you're a Family Ministry Team member, if you're on one of those councils, you need to let me know today if you're able to go to the planning retreat. But that meeting is today at 4 o'clock. One thing I am going to bring to your attention, to parents of youth, there is a new resource that has been made available to you by mail. It's called the Parent Link. Hopefully, if you're a youth parent, you've received this. There will be a children's parents one coming out in the next month or so. This is a resource for you. They are also available at the Welcome Center desk, just things that are going on with the youth ministry. And also, I did not have this available for our youth this morning, but our own Andrew Edmonds has begun a new newsletter ministry called SALT. He created this. And it's for our youth. It's available at the Welcome Center desk as well. And Andrew did a fabulous job with this, and it's going to be a meaningful thing for our young people. Reminder also for our youth, we are leaving for Caswell this Tuesday. We invite you to hopefully be here 4:30 if you can, so that we can leave on time and get down to Caswell. Reminder to all those who have been going to the Malachi class on Sunday nights. There will be no class, discipleship class tonight for Malachi. Every other discipleship class will meet, but Malachi will not meet this week. Other things that are happening, regular schedule this week, and we're right in the middle of Lent. Many things that we've made available to you, like these, The Greatest Sacrifice, which is a devotional guide for you to use during the Lent season, and then God's Sacrifice for You, which is a piece that you can give away to people to explain what we believe as Christians, and a great way to invite them to our Easter services. Easter is only 2 weeks away, and so it's a good opportunity to use those as you see fit. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We know that you've already filled out the pew pads, And we appreciate the information that you have provided to us. We're going to use that information to get to know you a little bit better. But we have ushers who are coming down the aisles now. We invite you, if you're a guest, just to raise your hand. They would like to give you a piece of information, a newsletter, that will tell you a little bit about us and about things that are going on in the life of our church, many things that are happening and good things that are going on. And so we hope that you can be a part of any of these things. And we pray that this hour of worship is a blessing to you. I think that is all of our announcements this morning, and it is time for us to join our hearts together in worship. It's what we do best at College Park, is come together and focus on the things that are important. And the most important thing is our worship of God. So I invite you to stand for our invitation to share in worship. As you see it printed in your bulletin, I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from thy presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me the joy of your salvation.
And sustain me with your willing spirit.
Amen. You may be seated. pray together. Father, it is with joy in our hearts that we come this morning. We want to lift high the cross. We want to proclaim what you did on Calvary. We want to tell the world of the hope that we have because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. We want to share the eternal love that you have for us. So we come this morning needing to hear from you, a reminder of how much you love us. Sometimes the days get long and sometimes the days are difficult. And we need a recharge. We need a reminder. We need to think this morning on all the things, all the many things that you have given to us and all the ways that you have blessed us. Every day is a gift. Every day is precious. And the opportunity to come into your presence in this hour of worship is a privilege. So we come to proclaim you're alive. Proclaim that you died for us. We lift high the cross. And may this worship be pleasing to your sight. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from two places in the New Testament. I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll be starting in verse 5 and reading through verse 10. And then John 12, beginning in verse 20 through 33. I invite you just to find John 12, put your thumb there. Begin with Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." He says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And then turning over to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning with verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. May God add his blessings to the reading, hearing, and applying of his holy word. Amen.
Painter wrote a number many, many years ago now that has stood the test of time. And we're going to sing that for you tomorrow. This morning he arranged a number that... His words came right out of the Scripture, which is part of the foundation of our faith. It's John 3:16 and 3:17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John Stainer's "God so loved the world."
God so loved the world. As we prepare our hearts to go to the Father in prayer, I would like to give you one item of pastoral care and an opportunity for us to show one another the kind of love and support that I know we do very well. Wayne Lewis's mother passed away this morning, and we want to be sure and extend to him our thoughts and our concerns and our prayers as the family will be working through that situation. We do not have arrangements. We do not have that information yet, but hopefully we will have that by later this afternoon or perhaps first thing in the morning. So if you would please just remember Wayne and his whole family as they deal with their loss. We are in the fifth Sunday of Lent, and it gives us an opportunity, again, to continue to reflect on our relationship with God. It gives us an opportunity to be honest with ourselves about our failures. And it gives us an opportunity to go to the Father in confession and to receive His forgiveness as we confess. And so this morning we'll have a few moments of silent confession to allow you to speak directly to the Father. And then we'll close with a prayer of confession in unison that's printed in your order of service. But let's go to the Father now. Let's pray together. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned against you by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not always had in us the mind of Christ. You alone know how often we have grieved you by wasting your gifts, by wandering from your ways, by forgetting your love. Forgive us, we pray, and free us from our sin. Renew us in the grace and strength of your Holy Spirit. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Will you pray with me? We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you've bestowed on our nation. We ask you to forgive us for our greed and for our neglect of you, and thanking you for all these blessings. We thank you also for the many blessings of our church. Thank you for our leaders and for our staff, and for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you for this Baptist Student Union group that made in our church this weekend. We pray that you'll be with them and that they will learn more about you. And I thank you personally so much for what I learned with Baptist Student Union when I was in school. It helped me through these years. We pray that you'll heal the many who are ill in our midst, if it be your will. And be with those who have lost loved ones this week. Comfort them as only you can do. And I bless this offering we bring to you today. Use it in your glory. We ask in your name. Amen.
Eight-year-old Kyle looked at his daddy and screamed, "But Dad, you promised! You promised! You promised!" And his father sat there with his head down in the car. He had come home late. He'd come home late from the office on this summer day, a hot summer day, and he pulled up in the driveway, and as he pulled up, he had seen Kyle sitting there right in the middle of the driveway with his fishing pole. And when he saw Kyle, he didn't even want to get out of the car. He just sat there. And he remembered the night before as they were playing in the den. They were having a wonderful time. And in the process of playing, Kyle had asked his dad, "Dad, can we go fishing tomorrow?" And his dad, sure, we'll go fishing. I'll be home at noon and I'll take you and we'll go fishing. Then he sat there now in the car and said, "He'll never understand. He'll never understand that when I got to the office this morning, that what was a small problem turned into a major crisis. He'll never understand." But then again, why should he understand? And as he got out of the car, he had to look at his son as his son turned with tears in his eyes and ran screaming back into the house. And his dad stood there and he wondered, what could he say? What could he say to him? This happens to all of us, doesn't it? It happens to all of us. Either we break our promises to someone or we're on the receiving end of a broken promise. It happens to children. It happens to parents. It happens to us at work. It happens to us at home. It happens to us at church. It happens to young married couples. It happens to couples who've been married 40, 50, 60 years. It just happens. And so when we experience broken promises, it's almost like a piece of ourself. Maybe our trust, our integrity is kind of chipped away. And what's left there, when the trust and the integrity is chipped away, we begin to replace that with suspicion, with mistrust, with disappointment, with anger, with frustration, and with despair. And each broken promise that we experience with one another reminds us of our own failures. But it also reminds us of the fact that as humans, we regularly fail to be faithful, both to one another, but also to God. But we're not alone. We're not alone in the fact that we break our promises. You see, the Bible is full of people who broke their side of the promise, who broke their covenant, their side of the covenant with God. And in the text that we'll be reading this morning, we see a situation where Jeremiah addresses the historical context, the historical fact that both Judah and Israel had been unfaithful. And they've broken their side of the covenant that God had made with them. And Jeremiah takes an opportunity. He takes this opportunity to draw a contrast. He's drawing a contrast between God's faithfulness and our unfaithfulness. I'll be reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, and I'll actually begin reading in verse 31. Now, if you have a copy there of Scripture, or if you want to pull out the Pew Bible, we'll be reading several verses here and making reference back to it, so it'll give you an opportunity to find Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning in verse 31. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." See, God, in spite of all of Israel's unfaithfulness, recommits to them. He recommits by giving them a new covenant. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that amazing. I really do. You think about how we respond when people disappoint us. But yet God here
is renewing. He's making a new covenant. After the old one's been broken, he's making a new covenant. Now, if you were God for a day, would you put up with this? Honestly, would you put up with this kind of behavior? No matter what Israel did, God stands ready to make a new covenant with them. I believe I would have run out of patience long before Jeremiah came along. Think about it. Be honest with yourself. You probably would have too, wouldn't you? Now, I probably could have put up with the complaining about the manna. Because after all, I mean, manna is not the ideal desert cuisine. It was there for a purpose, to teach them how to be daily dependent upon God. So I could have probably tolerated that. The part I would have had trouble with is the partying with the golden calf thing. I don't believe I could have stomached that. I'm not sure how God did. And they weren't even in the promised land yet, with all the broken commitments and promises on the side of the children of Israel after they got into the promised land. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how God does it. But that's the wonderful thing about God. God continues to try to win us over. Our God continues to renew covenant promises with us. Our God desires fellowship. He wants us to be His people. He wants us to be His obedient people. So what would be impossible for us? What would be impossible for us to do in our relationships is possible with God. God, in fact, is so greatly committed to His relationship with us that, as the choir so eloquently sung it, "For God so loved the world, He sent His only Son. He sent His Son to seal the covenant with His own blood." So that's what we remember. Whenever we say the words, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, the forgiveness of your sins," we remember Jesus in Scripture saying those words to seal yet a new covenant. Well, contrast that. In contrast to everything that we experience in our lives, God's dedication stands in very stark contrast to that. It's a refreshing change because in midst of our despair, God offers hope. And as we experience broken relationships, both with God and with one another, God offers to us healing. Healing of the broken, the severed relationships. And when others, when our fellow Christians even, won't forgive us, God will. Tonight we're in the life service, we're going to talk about forgiving one another. Last week we talked about how God forgives us and how we should accept God's forgiveness. Tonight we're going to talk about forgiving one another and accepting the forgiveness from each other. So I invite you to come back for life. But God never gives up on us. In our relationship with Him, God never gives up on us. He walks with us and He talks with us, and God walks with us in such a way that we can experience, even as we experience failure in relationships, He tells us that the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is one that won't fail. In a world where we disappoint one another, and in a world where we disappoint God, God tells us, "You will never be disappointed in relationship with me because of what Jesus Christ did." And in a world that actually cultivates feelings of abandonment, isolation, loneliness, God says, "I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I understand what you're going through, and I want to be your God. I want to be your source of strength and your source of courage and your source of peace." When we're mistrusting, when our hearts feel hardened, when we're suspicious of other people, that usually comes from being hurt. It comes from an experience in our life. But when we're walking down that journey, when we're suspicious, when we're hurt, when our hearts are becoming hardened, God wipes away those attitudes, if we'll allow Him to, and points us to the cross. He says, I sent my son for your sake. So in the face of all that God has done for us, God calls us and he says, remember the promise. Let's look again at the promise specifically. I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. What an awesome promise. God says, remember the promise. God calls on us to be people of the new covenant, to know that he will forgive our sins. He will not remember them. We forgive one another, but we have a hard time forgetting, don't we? You may have even heard it said, well, you know, I can forgive you, but I can't forget. You're right, we can't forget, but with God's help, we can forget. Because God says, I will remember their sins no more. God sends us, after he cleanses us, after he restores us to himself, he sends us out. He sends us to be conveyors of truth. He sends us to be reflectors of light, to be reflectors of his love. Not selfish, not selfish ambition, but be reflectors of his love. God sends us out as people who can be trusted. People who can be trusted to interact with one another, to encourage one another, to forgive one another, and to offer forgiveness. For God gives us grace. He gives us grace, and he gives us hope that we desperately need to make a difference. There is a world that is looking to us and observing us daily because they have no hope. We should be living as children of hope. We should be living as children who remember the promise because the world's watching us. We can affect that world, not because we're great in and of ourselves. It's not because of what we do. It's because of what God does in and then through us. And as we remember, I think as we remember this promise, we can fully understand that the future really doesn't have to be scary. The future does not have to hold fear for us. Several years ago, I heard a saying, which it stuck with me. It was one of those, of course. I've never heard it put quite that way. But the saying is this: has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? God has never found himself in a position where he looks down from heaven and goes, whoa, I didn't see that coming. No. He knows the future. He knows everything about the future. Humanity is just an instant in time for him. The whole spectrum of human history is just the fleeting moment, but he's still personally involved with our lives. He knows the future. We don't have to fear. There is no fear in us. We should have a peace. We should have a peace that the world cannot offer, nor does the world understand. We should have that peace today, here on this fifth Sunday of Lent. We should have that peace all through this week. As we go about our daily lives, we should have that peace when we come back next Sunday morning and we hear hosannas and we experience Palm Sunday. We should have that peace when we come together for a service of darkness on Good Friday. We should have that peace when we come together to celebrate Easter Sunday morning. And we will have that peace every single day from now on throughout eternity if we'll remember the promise. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we can't understand why in the world you would continue to reach out to us. You would continue to restore us to a relationship with you. That you would offer yet a new, another covenant. But Father, we're so grateful. And in this season of Lent, as we reflect upon how we fail you so often, Father, we pray that we would fully understand the nature of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That we would understand the new covenant that was offered, the covenant of forgiveness through his death and resurrection. Father, we pray that we would live as people who remember the promise that you've made that you will forgive our sin and that you will remember it no more. We pray that we'd be faithful to forgive one another in the same fashion that you forgive us. We ask now that you do forgive us when we failed you. Warm our hearts, restore our hearts, cleanse our hearts, and give us a peace and understanding that only you can give. Then we ask that with the eyes of our heart we would see others who desperately need to know you. And that we would extend to them the same grace, the same unconditional love, the same mercy that you extended to us while we were yet sinners. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning, maybe you've never experienced the kind of forgiveness, the kind of forgetfulness that God offers in terms of our sin. I want to give you a chance to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As we sing together, we want you to, if you would like to know more about how to have a relationship with God, I'll be glad to talk with you here in the front. I'll also be glad to speak with you after the service if you'd rather do it then. Perhaps you're here and you just need to restore your relationship with God and say, God, I want to be more faithful to my side of the covenant. I want to be more faithful to seek you first. I want to be more faithful to forgive others when they fail me. I want to extend that kind of forgiveness that you've extended. Perhaps you'd like to join this church. We receive members by a number of ways, and we'll be glad to talk with you about how we receive members. Whatever your decision would be, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. This benediction from God's Word. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.